Wilsons have been so blessing for us. We've known them since 1996, and they are a very wonderful couple, and we don't know how to thank the Lord for their lives. We always praise the Lord for their lives. They've been such a blessing for us. Thank you so much, the mission group, both of you. We appreciate all of you for your prayers, and I tell you what, we wouldn't be able to do that if it's not of your prayers. And we really count on you, and we thank you so much for that. We were in also, last Friday, we were in Rob and Tracy's home for the couples fellowship. But that was awesome to see all the couples together and the fellowship. And I think they did a series of Bible studies, and they concluded that on Friday with dinner. And that was really awesome, and I was really impacted about that. And I wanted to encourage you to keep it up. Don't just give it up, but hang it in there and get it going, please. And that is all about, you know, when the two come together. And we thank the church also for allowing that to happen. That is a great blessing. Thank you very much. If you have a Bible, please, if you will turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. First Timothy chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 6 through 12. And I'm going to read from King James Version, please. It reads, "But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. By the good fight of the faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed good profession before many witnesses." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, the Counselor, the Great God, the Protector, the Almighty God. We bless your name this morning because you deserve it. And we humbly seek you this morning because you made us and because you loved us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your infinite love. We ask your Spirit of God to enlighten our minds and our heart, and allow your word to sink in our heart. We ask all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. 1 Timothy actually was written by Paul to his son, his spiritual son, Timothy. And actually, Timothy was a young man, a son of Greek. He was his father was Greek and his mother was a Jewish, and Paul took Timothy up in his second missionary trip, and he discipled him and then took him along with all this missionary trip that he did. And Paul had a very big influence in Timothy's life when he was young. Then it got to a point of time where we realized that Paul was about to depart from this earth. And Paul would try to give Timothy instructions how to lead a church in Ephesus. Actually, Timothy was placed in the church of Ephesus to put things in order, to make sure things are going well. And he was a young man of about 30 years old then, and very timid. So we have Paul would take his time to pan out and to instruct Timothy how he should lead the church, as we refer to chapter 3, verse 15, that you should know how to behave yourself in the house of the Lord. In the first chapter, he will first get into the issue of the false teachers getting into the church and allowing and trying to instruct Timothy how to deal with that, that he should be very careful, and then that he shouldn't allow those things to infiltrate into the church. Then he moves on to the chapter 2. Chapter 2, he will talk about the order of prayers in the church, and he will somehow give instruction how the church should pray for our civil governments, and that we should dwell with them in peace by doing that. Then he runs down, then he gives the order how a prayer should be done in a church, that man should lead the prayer. Then he comes again, he changes the tone, talks about ladies' role in the church, then gives about the ladies' dresses. Then he moves on to chapter 3, he will talk about the qualification of the leaders in the church. These are instructions that which is being passed on to Timothy, the qualification that, and he will somehow put both the elders and the bishop as in the same range. Elders, bishop, and pastors, they were all the same level as overseers of the church. Then he talks a little bit about the qualification of the deacons as well. Then he moves on to chapter 5. He will talk to Timothy about the church responsibility in regards to the widows in the church, who are the widows that are qualified for the church to support them financially. And he talks about four categories of widows, widows that are young, widows that have lost, needed help. Then he will more make an emphasis that only the church are responsible for the widows who are widows indeed, which means widows that have only one husband in life, that have washed the feet of the saints, that have really served, and then that are older than 60 years old. So he gave all those, because in those days, in the first century, the church was going through a financial crisis, and there wasn't enough money to support all the widows. So Paul had to trim down to that qualification. He moves on to chapter 6. That's where he will analyze different issues with Timothy. He says he will talk about the relationship between the masters and the servants. Then he will come to a relationship between money, believers, and money issue. Now, this verse 6 here, we realize that it's a connection to verse 3. He started, says, if any man teach otherwise and consent, verse 3 of chapter 6, not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to the godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but darting about questions and strives of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil submissions, perverse disputants of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is what? Is godliness. What Paul is trying to say here, he is talking about the false teachers that are entering into the church, that are teaching heretics, which they think that gain is somehow godliness, the material gains, because these heretics were taking advantage of people and taking money from them, assuming some of them somehow have a kind of a quotation before you see them, you need to pay a certain amount of money. And as I speak with you, in my country, there are so-called pastors that before you have to see them, you have to book an appointment and you have to pay like $50 to $100 before you see them. You see, so these are kind of the context that Timothy was on. So Paul will try to direct him and say, hey, listen, wait a minute. Don't look after those people, because they think that gaining the material gain is godliness. And he warns Timothy, he says, from such withdraw yourself. Now, what I'm going to talk about this morning is about jackpot or joy. What are you looking for in this world? Are you looking for jackpot? Or you are looking for godly joy? And that is very, very important as we live in this 21st century. Christianity is, there's been a lot of confusion. I don't think whether or not we understand what it's all about. But Paul will try to pan it out here and try to make an emphasis how we should make choices in life. Then he says that, but, you see, you have three buts here, verse 6, verse 9, and verse 11. He says, but godliness with contentment, it's what? It's a great gain. You see, the emphasis that Paul wants to make it clear here is a contrast between material gain and the spiritual gain. It says godliness with contentment. His idea was to make it known to Timothy, listen, the godliness that comes with contentment, that is eternal. But the material gain that these heretics are going after, it's temporary. And it will last no moment. And he calls on Timothy to be very careful on that. And at least we are called, we are reminded this morning that we need to be very, very careful upon the choices that we make. And he says, even though godliness does not give financial gain, okay, but it has its eternal purposes. Sometimes we can forget ourselves and we can easily go into that. But Paul will try to make it clear here. And he says, verse 7, he says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. You see, we came with our empty hand in this world. And we have nothing to take along. The only thing that we have to take along is our works to heaven. When Christ comes to say, when Christ comes to take his church, the only thing a believer will take along is his work, his service to the Lord. Because that is going to give, when we go to heaven, when we have to stand before him in judgment seat of Christ, we are going to declare our works before him. We are not going to be judged because we have passed from death unto life, and we have passed from the wrath of God. We are no more going to be judged, but we are going to declare our works before him in his throne of judgment. And that is where he's going to reward us. So as a believer, what we are going to take along is just our works after we got saved. And therefore, our reasons of living here in this earth are supposed to be temporal, and knowing that we are strangers in this world. This is not our home, of course. Our home is over there. Okay, and that should give us that perspective in living and looking towards heaven, not looking towards on this earth. So Paul will make it clear here to Timothy. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. What he is saying is, listen, Timothy, he says, having the food, having the raiment, having a shelter to live in, it's more than enough. God will always provide our needs. You know, he will not give us what we don't need. He will always provide what we are needed. And God will never look us to go hunger. And he's making it clear, he says, having those things, it's more than enough. Verse 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. You know, if you watch the text here, it says, it doesn't say those that are rich. He says, those that will be rich. Let me make Let me interpret the text for you to understand clear. God has blessed many Christians with riches. It's not evil if God has blessed a believer with riches. The text here, what he's saying is, those that are looking to be rich, you see, fall into what? In temptation. And that is what he is talking. He says, and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men into destruction and perdition. You see, this is a different altogether. Looking to be rich, you being rich.
God has blessed a lot of people, a lot of Christian, I've known Christian, that the Lord has blessed them with a lot of riches, with a lot of wealth. But the question is, the heart is not in the world. The heart is with the Lord. And their joy is not found in the world. Their joy is found in the Lord. But he is given an indication here. It says, those that who want to be rich, who are converting to be rich, who want to use the rich to be the priority in their lives, it says, falls into various temptations. And it doesn't stop there. It says, and a snare, it's a kind of craving to get rich of money, causes people to fall into a snare. The snare is kind of a trap. They fall into a trap and then they can come out. And it says, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drawn men in destruction and what? And perdition. You see, looking satisfaction in worldly things can take you to somewhere that you wouldn't, or you don't deserve, or you wouldn't want to get there. And Paul went through that same situation when Demas abandoned him. When you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, we don't have time to read it, but Demas abandoned him and went to the world because he loved the world, and he forsake Paul in the ministry. So Paul was warning Timothy that, hey, be careful, don't get into that, watch out, don't go after those that are teaching the heretics, the false teachers, because this is their aim. Their aim is to make a material gain, and they think that making a material gain brings them to be something, but he says they know nothing. I remember about
a little over 3 years in Ghana, in the national news, there was a pastor who told his members that they should bring monies, and he's going to double it for them. And if you know very well my context, our background, when you talk anything about money, people just rush for it. And what happened is most of the congregation went to loan money from the banks, thinking that the money will be doubled. Some went over and brought it to the church. The pastor took the money and then says he's going to double it for them. He gave them some time. They waited. The money was not coming. He took the money. He bought 4x4. He bought about 3 cars. He rented an office location. He took a secretary. And you can name it. The people were waiting for the money to be doubled. And the money was not coming. They waited and it's not coming. Then what they did is they decided to report the case to the police. So the guy got arrested. And then he was interrogated, and afterwards they realized that the money has been consumed, and there is no any other way that this money can be returned back to the owners. So what happened is they took over the cars that he bought, and he got arrested. But one thing that I came to understand after thinking about this is, as well, we are very greedy for money. And you needed to realize that, is it so easy for someone to double money? Does he have a special power that he can do that? You know, so this really came to known, in a sense that people don't realize that they need to be very careful when it comes to issues about money. And then this became something of nationwide. It became all, everyone was being careful about that. But then I talked to myself, what are we for? Are we for money? Or are we to live to please the Lord? Verse number 10, he says, for the love of money is the root of what? Of all evil. You see, the root of money, that is the basis of the money, the foundation of the money, the foundation of love and money, it's the root to all sort of evil. Oh, man. You see,
the other time we were looking into court TV, and I don't know, I love to sit down and look at that. And you realize that sometimes a man might go and pay his way out for his wife to be killed because of the life insurance, because of the wealth. And you see them doing that. There was one that we watched recently. A young lady was married to a businessman. And I think along the way there was infidelity among the two of them. And this lady went to pay someone to get rid of the husband. But the guy that she went to see was a private investigator. And the guy was not feeling comfortable to do that. The guy gave this lady many chances to change her mind. And several occasions, he met with the lady, trying to persuade the lady to change her mind of doing that. The lady was not willing to do that. So this guy, being a private detector, what he did is he reported the case to FBI. Then FBI came into the case. Then afterwards, they have to look away to track the lady's conversation with him. And on that very appointed day that the lady paid the money, the first she needed to pay about half of the money. She paid that money, half of it to the man. Then they caught her on a camera. So at her home, she got arrested. She was taken to the station. They tried to interrogate her, and they proved with all the conversation that went on with all the camera, that they, all the films that it was taken. But I sat down and think about myself how people can give their heart to money. And they were caught. She was arrested, and she's still being arrested now. But what do you think about this? It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from what? From the faith, and pierced themselves through with many what? Sorrows. Because going after the money, you realize that you don't have any happiness. You lost the essence of being in the things of the Lord. You lost the essence of doing the things of the Lord. You love the essence of being in the Word. And because of the money, you lose that contentment. You lose that happiness. You lose that fellowship that you have with the Lord because you don't have time. You don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to do anything. You don't have time to come to church. You don't have time to fellowship. Then you get yourself into a whole lot of problems because you are chasing after the money. And Paul was telling Timothy, says, be very careful about that. Don't give yourself to that. And you realize that verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee. He says, listen, Timothy, I want you to flee from all these things. Flee. Run away. Don't get into that. That will get you into a problem. And he says, follow. Follow after righteousness. You know, the righteousness here talks about holiness. Holiness is in essence that knowing that you are called, you are set apart for the service of the Lord. The word holiness in a Hebrew word talks about kodesh. And it's something, it's a vessel that is set apart for the usage in the temple. And it's implication that a believer, when you are born again, you are called out of the world. You are set apart for the service of the Lord. And your life should be reflect with the person of Jesus Christ and reflect the person of Jesus Christ living in your life and showing to the world that you are different. And that's why Paul is telling Timothy, he says, just get out of that, but follow righteousness. And the righteousness also means rectitude, living a rectitude life or being justice. But not only that, he says, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness. The word godliness is living a life conforming to God's word or God's will. Then he comes again, he says, after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Here he will mention about 6 of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is totally 9, but he will mention 6 of it here. And the word love here talks about love and faith, talks about these living principles that a man have to live into it. Loving Christ, showing Christ in your life, and then knowing that you are living in the faith of Christ, that people might see that in your life. But thou, man of God, flee the sins, follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Patience here talks about endurance. Endurance in godly living. Endurance, that temptation that you go through. Endurance in confronting or receiving mocking or verbal attacks. Endurance of going through persecutions. Endurance of going through trials. We're doing our quiet time in Job, and you could realize how Job, all the troubles that Job went through and the complaint that he was having. And I looked at myself, I said, Lord, the little one that I go in, I complain every day. But Paul tells Timothy, he says, endure, you know, follow the endurance. Then he comes to the gentleness, meekness. The meekness there talks about gentleness. Being meek, Moses is known as a gentle, as a meek, as our Lord Jesus Christ, as a meek as well. And then he went on, he says, the next verse, 12, he says, fight a good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. In other words, he says, fight a good fight, Timothy, and lay hold. Focus on the eternal life. Let this be your perspective. Hold on to that. Don't give it up. Move ahead. Looked into the eternal purposes. And that is what we're supposed to do, kind of looked into, get hold to the eternal life, allow God to lead us, knowing that he will come for us one day and he will take us to heaven one day. Verse 12, fight a good fight. Fight a good fight here is talking about athletic terms. And talking about a battle and military terms and athletic terms. And what he wanted us to understand this morning is the Christian life is a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle, everyday battle. The old man fights with the new man. Paul said, I do things that I don't want to, but the things that I want to do, I don't do it. You know, it's a battle every day that we face. And we need to give ourselves to the Lord so that our lives can be able to be established in the things of the Lord. When we don't give in to the Lord, we are always defeated by the enemy. We are always defeated. And he says, focus. That means lay hold of eternal life. Hold it, grab it, look into it. Don't let it go. Just hold it strongly, knowing that the Lord will soon come. that is more has to do with his, and he goes on, he says, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. He's talking about his baptism. During his baptism, he gave a profession before many witnesses. This has happened about a little about 2 years ago. There was a British missionary living in Ghana, one of the township, and he went on furlough to England, and on his way back, he was picked at the airport by one of the staff. And after he was picked, he was driven to a very desert place and was killed alive. The guy dug a very big trench, and he dropped the man into the trench and he covered him. After 4 weeks later on, they started to investigate the case. I think his relatives over there in UK called, and he was nowhere to be found. So they called the police, the local police, and the police started to investigate about the case. They were able to arrest the guy who picked him at the airport. They asked him, where did he take him? He said, no, he took him to home. And he was nowhere to be found. Now, the question was, the issue was, he had about five or six young men and his staff. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to sell his assets. And even the car that they picked him at the airport with, they sold it. So police were tracking the vehicle. They found the vehicle, and they have to investigate through the one who bought the vehicle. And the person who bought the vehicle heard that news, and he reported the case to police, and they got the guy. And the actual sense was, they planned to kill the guy, to kill the missionary, and to sell the car, sell his assets, sell his house. They were four in that complot. But after doing the investigation, the guy was arrested. The police asked him to take them to the place where he buried the man alive. He went, he showed them, they dug the hole, and they brought the man out. But he was dead, of course. You see, those that will want to be rich would fall into temptation, into the snare of the devil. Money is not something to give our heart to. We need to give our heart to the Lord. This is godliness with contentment. It's a great gain. And our godliness have to be found and based in the Word of God. Our contentment should be found here. It's not enough we said we are believers, and then we don't go to the Bible. Our level of love to the Lord should be based here. Our love of the Lord will be shown how much we spend time here. And it's very, very important that as we move ahead in the 21st century with Christianity, that we can be an exemplary believers in the way we live. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, how can you hide the word of God in your heart? It's being in the word. Let the word of God, let the word of Christ abound in your heart. And once that abounds in your heart, you live a joyful life and you excel in godliness, and people around you will see Christ in your life and they will come to Christ because of your life. And that is all that it's all about. It's not about us, it's about Christ. And Christ needed to be seen in our lives. Godliness with contentment. It's a great gain. We brought nothing in this world, and we shall go with nothing. We will go, of course, with our works and be declared before God. What is your objective of living your Christian life? Are you a Christian that just come to church on Sunday? Or you are a Christian that spend time here? You see, it says godliness with contentment. The contentment will not come until you go here. And that makes you to be wiser. The Word of God makes us wiser. The Word of God converts souls. And it's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, friends, brothers and sisters, that we go here.
I want to make a lot of emphasis on this because we are losing the objective. We are letting this word behind. We are no more going here. We are no more consulting here. God has left his manual for us. And that is where we need to use. And if we put it aside, we are lost and we will go astray. But then he doesn't end there. Verse number 12. He says, hold fast. He says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life. Lay hold. Focus on eternal life. Now, I don't know. Probably someone is here this morning. And he doesn't know. He doesn't have a relationship with this God that Paul is talking here. Maybe you are coming to church continuously, daily. Every Sunday you are here. But in not any occasion you have given your life to Christ. Christ came to die on the cross for your sins. He is perfectly Son of God. He is 100% God. And he is perfect man. And he came to take your place on the cross. He died for your sins. And he died for my sins. He is the only way that you can get to God the Father. And your sins condemns you to hell. I don't say, the Bible says this. It says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We have separated from God because of our sins. But if you don't want to realize that, I don't say, the Word of God says, when you die, you go to hell. What will a man gain to gain the whole world and then loses his soul? He came to die on the cross for your sins. And until you don't acknowledge that and accept him, you'll be gone to hell. I want to encourage you this morning. Think about that. Give your life to Christ. Let him come into your life. And he is able to transform you and make you a new person. You see, godliness with contentment, it's a great gain. Find your contentment here, and God will fulfill your heart desire. Let's pray.
Our Father, we thank you for your life. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the Spirit of God that dwells in our lives. Would you help us to find our contentment in your word and excel in godliness, that we will not give our heart of seeking money, but rather we'll be content for what you've given us. Help us to be wiser in our decision making. And help us to love you with all our heart. And this morning I pray, as I pray, Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that I have not known the Lord, if you want to know, if you want to accept Jesus Christ, wherever you are, would you please raise up your hand? Anyone else here this morning, please, that will say, I want to know Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. Anyone here this morning? Anyone here? Lord, we commit our lives to you this morning. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. And help us to serve you with all our heart. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.